she had earned a degree in computer science. She was the first woman to work in the information security division of the Saudi National Oil Company. She was married and had a son. But none of that was enough to permit Manal al-Sharif the simple dignity of driving an automobile. This restriction came to symbolize the other infantilizing and insulting limitations women face in Saudi Arabia and motivated her to get behind the wheel and head down the road that has led to both prison and to worldwide recognition. Manal tells her spellbinding story in the new book, Daring to Drive, A Saudi Woman's Awakening, and I am delighted that it brings the author to our show. Manal al-Sharif, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Hi, thank you.
Have things changed since your arrest, or are they the same?
So things are progressing because more women, the right to drive movement is still going on, and it's part of a bigger movement, which is I Am My Own Guardian, to cancel and fight the guardianship system in women. One of the reasons we don't drive is because we are considered minors in my country. More women are speaking up, more women are joining the movement, and also men are understanding why we're doing this, and men also are joining the movement by supporting us. Prince Faisal bin Abdullah, who is the son of the late king, he spoke in preference to women driving. He said, I support women driving. That was 2 weeks ago. So these things are really giving us positive signs. We're receiving positive signs.
Let me ask you for just a quick summary of your journey through ultra-conservative Islam and what changed for you after that.
So in the teenage years, I grew up in the 80s. 80s and the 90s were the time where we had the Afghan war. There was this huge support to go for jihad in Afghanistan because you're helping other Muslim brothers and sisters. And at that time, there was a lot of, not only enthusiasm about the jihad there, but there was a lot of preaching about Islam, the ultra-conservative sect of Islam that we follow in Saudi Arabia, the Wahhabi Salafi. It was huge at that time. So growing up, this is how I grew up. This is how my generation grew up. Hearing all these sermons, hearing all these calls for jihad, hearing all these religious preaching growing up. So it did radicalize the youth at that time. Things change now, but we did pay the best years of our lives. We did pay the price by being radicalized.
Manal, what happened to you? What happened inside you, your thinking, your feeling, that led you to challenge the particular ban on women driving in Saudi Arabia?
It didn't happen overnight, really. It took years and years of frustration, always feeling that why we treated different than men. When I moved to the U.S. and I got my driver's license and I went back home, I had a car that I was paying the installments, the loan for the car for 5 years, and that year I finished in 2012. So from 2007, I was paying this car, and I was sitting there. When I bought it, I had a driver. But when I got divorced, I had to let go of the driver. I couldn't let a man, a perfect stranger, live with me in the house. So I had this car sitting there. I can only drive it inside the compound because that 2007, Aramco allowed women to live in the compound out of policy. So every time I need to leave the compound, I couldn't. And I've been through harassment. I've been through so much frustration when I went back with a driver license and a car, and I couldn't drive it. And then I found out that there is no law. It's a custom. That really ignited the idea of how can we finish this ban on women driving by normalizing, by making it a reality, by encouraging women to learn how to drive and go out and drive. Things are progressing in this one because the movement continued every year. So June 17, actually, would be the 6th anniversary, and it's still there. It's still moving.
How did it happen? Was it just one day you got up and said, I'm going to drive out and see what happens? And what was that like?
As I mentioned, it wasn't a one-day thing. It was accumulating. It was frustration, personal frustration, the harassment I got, And it was the Arab Spring in 2012. And we found the other youth, they were using YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, using social media to call for social change. And we thought, oh, my God, we can do this. We can call for social change. So the Women to Drive, it was a Facebook event. This is how we started. It was a Facebook event calling women in June 17 who know how to drive to go out and drive and continue driving, not only on that day. That day, just we're saying we're serious. We're going to go out and drive. And I had to go out and give an example because most women were really terrified what going to happen to me when I drive in the city. So when I went out and I drove and I asked Wajiha to take the video, that was the breaking point when things got really nasty. So I thought this is the way to show that it can be done because unless you see someone is doing it, you're not encouraged. There is so much fear. So that was the breaking point. What? Where women believed, yes, I can go out in the city and drive. I will not be killed or raped, as they've been telling us. And the society did not stop me. What stopped me was the traffic police and the religious police. Those are the ones that stopped me.
So what were the immediate consequences of that?
Oh, wow. The immediate consequences, I was arrested by the religious police because I drove the second time. And I passed by traffic police. I was interrogated. I was let go. But then later on, the secret police came to my house at 2 a.m. and they arrested me and they sent me to jail without a trial, without even a warrant, nothing. The consequences were, for me, I was in deep shock because the paper says when I entered jail, it was driving while female. And I'm like, when is this a crime to be sent to jail for driving while female? I was lucky because the media got the story and the attention and the international rally to release me. It was amazing. The story picked up everywhere in every single media, whether internet, whether news, whether TV, it was there out there. And that, I think, helped getting me released and continuing the movement.
Were other women arrested at the same time you were?
No, not at the time. We started up Teach Me How to Drive, another campaign, because we were trying to teach girls how to drive. So four of them who were teaching the other girls were arrested, but they were released the same day. In 2014, there were two ladies who drove from UAE, from the Emirates. They wanted to cross the borders to Saudi Arabia. They were both arrested, and they were sent to jail for 73 days. And when they were released, they were banned from leaving the country for a whole year. So there was someone who didn't drive inside Saudi Arabia, but they wanted to drive inside Saudi Arabia, who'd been arrested and sent to jail. These things are important because the government is taking us seriously. Before, they would just ignore us. Now when the backlash is this harsh, that means they're acknowledging that we're creating impact.
You've said that you at one time thought that the ban against driving for women was a law, and you found out that it was not. What about other women in Saudi Arabia? Do they know that it's not a law?
6 years ago, women did not know that. Men did not know that. Because of the movement, because of social media, awareness happened where more and more women got to know there is no law. It's not against the law. And even if there is a law, the law is unjust and had to be changed and had to be challenged.
And is that happening?
It won't happen unless women keep fighting back because the government really going through economical hardship now because of the oil prices and because of the war in Yemen. Mm-hmm. And that is really hurting them. And now they cannot have the luxury anymore to keep women locked in their homes, to keep women out of the workforce, with only 11% of the workforce. Mm-hmm. This will really introduce real change in the society and for the women rights in general.
What other countries impose these kinds of gender-based rules?
When you talk, it's a men world. It's not woman world. So mm-hmm. you find these rules and you find these inequalities around the world, in the U.S. itself. Until this day, women are fighting for equal pay. Women are fighting for maternity leave, the right to maternity leave, to be federal law, not only based on whatever state or whatever company law is. So it's a global issue. It's not only a Saudi Arabia issue. But mostly in the developed country and the third world country, women rights are the worst. So Saudi Arabia is ranked 141st out of 144 countries when it comes to the Global Gender Gap Index. There's only three countries under Saudi Arabia, which is Syria, Pakistan, and Yemen. And those countries had women in the government and prime ministers. While we didn't, until now, we didn't have any women in the government as a minister, I mean, the cabinet of ministers, because those are the policymakers in any government or in any country. So it's a global issue. It's not only a Saudi Arabia issue.
Is this a correct observation that women in Saudi Arabia are seen as virtually children are seen and
minors
have some of the same kinds of rules restricting them?
Yes, I'm 38 years old. I have two boys. I'm an engineer, and I'm still considered a minor. So legally, I'm still a minor. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter my age. So that's the problem that we're trying to address in my country, to consider us, to recognize us as full citizens, not minors, and to name an age where I am adult. I'm mm-hmm. not a minor.
Manal, are the leaders of Saudi Arabia the only ones that hold this kind of perspective, or are there a lot of people, just citizens in Saudi Arabia, who hold this same bias against women?
I think it's not a government problem only or a society problem only. It's both.
Uh-huh.
It's got to do with educating the public. And if you don't do that, your homework as a government, of course the public will keep whatever ideas about women. Also, mm-hmm. the religious establishment in Saudi Arabia is one of the hardest ones to change when it comes to women. And they show their power, how much they have grabbed over the society, how much power they have over the society, but how much power they have over women. So the more rules are, strict rules are imposed on women, the more they show we are in power.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, the government is accepting these rules, because most of the laws in the country is based on fatwas by the religious establishment.
Mm-hmm.
These are the things that we are trying to change.
What will it take to finally make women's dignity and autonomy a priority in Saudi Arabia?
I think education. You educate people, especially the women themselves. When the woman is educated, you're educating the whole society, mm-hmm. not only the woman. And this is what we wish for. And social media is giving us the podium. We never had the chance to voice our views. Social media is doing great thing of educating more women, their families, their husbands, of their rights. A lot of women didn't understand that. They were fighting us back when we were talking about the ending the guardianship. They said, oh my God, you're against God.
Mm-hmm.
How do you want to do something against God's will? And then we sit with them and we explain to them, no, it's not against God's will.
Mm-hmm.
Who told you it's against God's will? And they get shocked. So this is important, and it's very empowering to women and their families. Because we need to involve men, too. We need to prepare them, too.
Manal, it's a great book.
Thank you.
Would you like people who read your book, what would you like for them to come away feeling or thinking after reading your thoughts?
Did you feel empathy with me reading my story as an American?
Yes.
This is what I wish. I wish to give hope to women in my country. And I wish the rest of the world to reflect on whatever issues internally in their own countries, that, oh my God, there are rules that are wrong and we need to change them, or how we look at women, or all these difficulties that is man-made. We make them. This is what I hope, really, when someone reads this book.
Manal al-Sharif is a prominent women's rights activist who tells her compelling story in Daring to Drive a Saudi Woman's Awakening. Manal, I really appreciate you coming to talk with us and share your story with our listeners. Thank you so much for being
with
us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you for having me.